But to impact our nation for God, we must always take a stand for righteousness. Amen? Righteousness is right, no matter which side is saying it.
Hello, and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. In the first part of tonight's message that aired last week, Pastor Brian Grant offered how the church has the answer to the turmoil troubling our nation because Christ is the answer. However, the Church of Jesus Christ is so divided that it has become a problem rather than the solution. Nevertheless, Pastor Grant assures us there is hope if we only renew a commitment to doing things God's way. We invite you to turn in your Bibles to Philippians 1, verse 27, and listen with us as Pastor Grant concludes his message, Impacting a Nation in Turmoil. Here again is Pastor Grant.
Let me ask you, Christian, is your behavior, is your lifestyle, the stuff you do, is it worthy of the gospel? Oh, we just sang all the praise what goes to Jesus, all the praise to Him alone. Is praise going up to Him by the way you and I are living our lives? One of our most powerful weapons to impact the world is our consistent walk as a Christian. But sadly, some Christians are so focused on influencing the politics of the nation, they've lost focus on conducting themselves worthy of the gospel. You know, earlier this year, many of us were shocked by the attack on the U.S. Capitol building. But what was particularly shocking to me is that some of those who broke in were Christians and were even bold enough to send text messages thanking God for allowing them to break in. Make no mistake, that type of behavior is not worthy of a Christian. Turn with me, if you would, to 1 Peter chapter 12. Chapter 2, I'm sorry. 1 Peter doesn't have 12 chapters. 1 Peter chapter 2. And if you would, we're going to just read from verse 13. And here's what the Word of God tells us. It says, therefore, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. Whose sake? Oh, I know somebody's listening to me this morning and said, Pastor, you don't realize what these folks are doing. Submit yourself to every ordinance of man. What for? For the Lord's sake, whether to the king as supreme or to governors as to those who are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men, as free, yet not using your liberty as a cloak for vice, but as bondservants of God, honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, and what? Honor the king. Wow. Did it really say that? It said it. Honor the king. Oh, I know, for just in case you, I think it was a shame that when President Obama became president, there were some Christians who could not honor President Obama. And then when President Trump became president, there were Christians who could not honor President Trump. In fact, I even ran into Christians who said, I will not pray for him. Now, the same ones are upset that some are not honoring President Biden. You see, Christians, we don't have the option of choosing which president we're going to honor. Because the person, our commander in chief, the Lord Jesus Christ, has already told us who to honor, and he tells us we are to honor the king. And listen, in case you say, but he won, didn't win fairly. The election wasn't fair. Oh, you didn't know I would get into all of this. Some of it I didn't intend to get to, but since I'm there already, I may as well continue. Can I suggest to you as a believer in Jesus Christ, who is working yourself up about how the election may or may not be fair, can I suggest to you that in the time that this scripture was written, there was no such thing as fair elections? Can I suggest to you that although there were no fair elections, the God of the universe, the God, our commander in chief, he says what? Honor the king, whether he got there fairly or unfairly. Can I get an amen on that? So I'm going to suggest to my brothers and sisters in Christ, let's start doing it God's way, and whoever happens to end up being the king, honor them. Honor them regardless of the color of their skin. Honor them regardless of their political view. Honor them although some of what they say is diametrically opposed to the word of God. We're coming there in a minute. But honor them anyway. Why? Because God says so. And at the end of the day, our mission is to do it God's way because the God. Listen, let me move on from there. I don't want to get stuck there, because you know Romans chapter 13 tells us, "Let everyone be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established." And it says all the authorities that exist have been established by God. Did you know the Bible says that? Romans chapter 13, verse 1. That God has established. No president or king comes around that God has not established. So I have come to the conclusion, I'm going to let God take care of his business. God's business, it's his business to put who he wants there. Can I suggest that sometimes he puts people there to give us a good whipping? It's not all the time he puts people there to make your life easy. Sometimes he puts people there to turn your life upside down. Because sometimes the church needs a good shaking. And God knows sometimes we need to be given such a good shaking that we can get serious about our mission. Listen, we are to take care of our business. God takes care of his business. Amen? What is our business? My business is to impact this world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. That is my business. And sadly, we're so caught up in God's business, trying to decide who should be the leader, that we have missed God's Listen. May God help us to refocus on the mission that God has given us, because I am convinced that God has given us this unbelievable opportunity in our generation to impact this world. But we are so caught into other things that we are missing our opportunity. So what have we said so far? Listen, before I move on, we must stand unitedly as a church. We must consistently walk as Christians because, put this down, the only gospel some people may ever know is what they see in your life and what they see in my life. May God help us to live a life that speaks well of the gospel of Jesus Christ. But third, and finally, we must courageously battle the adversaries We must courageously battle the adversaries. Verse 27 and 20, let me pick up at verse 28. It says, "Are not in any way terrified by your adversaries, which is to them a proof of perdition, but to you of salvation, and that from God." Don't be terrified by your adversaries. Every Christian is in a battle, and there are adversaries determined to neutralize us. You know, the Greek word Paul used for terrified is a word that was frequently used to describe a horse who is shying away from battle. Have you ever tried shying away from battle? You know, as the cavalry rides, there were some horses who didn't want to meet the enemy head on and was shying away. You might not have shied away, but I have shied away. And I believe it's easy to shy away. In fact, I believe right here at Germantown Christian Assembly, some of us are shying away. You know, even as the missions, the evangelism team goes out on the field, some of us are shying away from engaging in battle. Oh, it's easy for us to say, "Well, that's not my gift. Oh, I don't have the gift of evangelism." But I want to tell you that evangelism may not be your specific gift, but I want to tell you that every single Christian has been committed with the responsibility of sharing this life-transforming message. Yes, my brother and sister, it includes you. You have been given the ability to share the gospel and reach people, because as you share, the Spirit of God will do His work. So it's time for us to stop this cop-out and say, "Oh, I don't, it's not my gift." Every one of us have been placed in a circle of influence. And sadly, some of us are not seizing the opportunity to share and to impact our circle of influence. May God help you to do that. You know, over the years, young people have come to me and they've said, "Is it okay for a Christian to pursue a career in politics?" And I just want to say, a career in politics is quite okay, provided you are committed to taking a stand for righteousness. I want to say that. It's okay to get into politics as long as you're committed to taking a stand for righteousness. For one of the adversary's greatest tricks is to make us so terrified. We're afraid to stand for righteousness and to call out sin. Have you ever noticed that Christians who support one of the political parties will rarely condemn racism? Have you ever noticed that they will speak a lot about abortion and the evils of abortion, but they will not say very much about racism? You see, the enemy has terrified them because they will get pressure if they talk about that in the group that they're in. But have you ever noticed that Christians from the other party will rarely condemn abortion or same-sex marriages? They will talk a whole lot about racism, but they won't say very much about abortion or same-sex marriages, which are sinful. You see, they are terrified by their adversaries. But to impact our nation for God, we must always take a stand for righteousness. Amen. Righteousness is right, no matter which side is saying it. And sin is sinful, no matter which side is saying it. Amen. And it's time for us to realize that. And I just want to encourage those of us who desire to be involved in politics in an active way. Make sure that you're taking a stand for righteousness and you're willing to call out sin. And if you're on the side that wants to be quiet about sin, some of the stuff, you make sure you make it clear that God is angry with those who would kill unborn babies. But if you're on the other side, make it clear that God is angry with those who, after the unborn baby has been born, would kill that person. We must not allow the enemy to terrify us. Our problem is we get caught up in these little pockets, our little parties, and then all of a sudden we are afraid, we are terrified to say what God says. May God give us the courage that we're going to call sin, sin, no matter what side says it. Amen? Sin is sin, no matter what side. And listen, there are none of the two sides have it right. Don't worry, I'm not starting a third party. But as we seek to impact our nation, let's not pick fights with those we disagree with. Oh, I see Christians burning down abortion buildings. I see Christians hustling and harassing and shouting insults at people whose lifestyles they disagree with. Where are we getting that stuff from? That's not conducting ourselves worthy of the gospel. Because our gospel is a message of love, amen? It's a message of love. Burning down the abortion building is not God's way. You say, brother, do you know what they're doing? Yes. Can I imagine? Christians are killing people who are killing babies. Is it crazy or what? We get so worked up about a particular thing that we lose sight of the big mission. We lose sight of the big picture. The mission God has called us to is impacting this world with the life-transforming gospel of Jesus Christ. Write this down in your notes. Although the message of salvation condemns sin, it is a message of hope. It is a message of healing. It is a message of reconciliation. Amen? Amen. This message brings people together, and it is a message of God's great love. You know, Romans 3:23 teaches us that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. My friend, if you're listening to me this morning, I want you to know that that includes you. Nobody is excluded. All have sinned. Every one of us have sinned. Oh, you may have been told you're the best neighborhood. Listen, it don't matter if you're the best neighbor. Every single one of us have sinned. And all of us have fallen short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23 tells us that the wages of sin is death. Oh, death has to do not just that you're going to die one day, but it's talking about separation from God. Because of our sin, we're all separated from God. The Bible tells us unless we get it fixed, one day we will die and we will be eternally separated from God in a lake of fire. Listen, all have sinned. That includes you, my friend. The wages of sin is death, eternal separation from God. But oh, I'm so glad that's not the end of this story. For John's Gospel, chapter 3, verse 16 tells us, for God so loved the world, he gave his only beloved Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Whoever believes in the Lord Jesus, Jesus went to the cross of Calvary, and he hung his hands out as they nailed him to that cross, and Jesus gave his life for your sin and my sin. The word of God says, whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. What a powerful message we have to share. That's the simple message. Every man is a sinner. But thank God, Jesus died for our sin. And if we receive him, he will change us eternally. And my friend, as I bring this message to a close, have you ever received this Jesus Christ as your Savior? Are you sure he has washed you from your sin, young lady? Oh, you may be a good church member. You may be active in a church. But the question is, has there ever been a time in your life when you said to God, Lord, God, I know I'm a sinner. I acknowledge I'm a sinner. And I realize that Jesus died for me. Thank you that he died for me. And today I'm turning away from my sin. And I'm turning to you. And I'm asking you to come into my life and save me today. Have you ever done that? If you have not, why not do it right now?
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I'm a sinner, need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and he will answer your prayer and he will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ, or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-887-4750 or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. And remember to ask for our daily devotional, The Word for You Today. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing to us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for worship this Sunday at 10:45 a.m. It will certainly be a pleasure to meet you. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.